So have you ever had a, make, when it comes to decision making, right? It's not that difficult to make a decision that is between a bad option and a good option, right? Those are the easy decisions. But you may have come across a harder decision that is between a good option and a good option, or maybe a great option and a great option, or maybe multiple good options. Do you know what I'm talking about? Those are like the really hard decisions. And if you've never had one like that in your life, you're going to for sure, no matter who you are. Life is full of decisions all the time, little decisions, a million a day, and then big decisions, I mean life-changing decisions that you're going to enter into. Sometimes it's even a decision between like a bad option and a bad option, like the election. Oh, sorry, was that outside voice? Sorry, we're not going to go down that road, but decision making, how do you make decisions? We're in the middle of a short 3-week series called Listening to God. We've been talking about hearing God's voice, and we've been talking about listening to God in prayer, and now today we're talking about listening to God in making decisions. Now, like I said, this is so relevant. I mean, many of you here at Antioch are 20-something, 30-somethings, like myself. Others of you are older, and it doesn't stop making. You don't stop making major decisions as you grow older, but man, monumental decisions in your college age, in your 20s, in your 30s. Who, you know, getting married, moving, job, education, buying a home, having kids, schools. I mean, it's like decisions keep mounting. So this is a very, very relevant topic for anyone in life. Now, here's the main idea. Here's where we're going today. I'm going to argue that making wise decisions as a follower of Jesus, it's a Spirit-led process that involves many contributing factors. So making decisions, it's a process. It's a process of wisdom, and it involves many different contributing factors, and sometimes one of those factors or a few of those factors are more important than the others. What I'm talking about, as we'll see from the Bible, is making decisions is very different from like a common Christian subculture understanding sometimes of finding God's will. And God's will is like this mysterious, mystical thing out there that's like a needle in a haystack that I have to find and search through that haystack and find that needle, otherwise I'm going to mess up my whole life and set myself on a trajectory that's like outside of God's will. That's nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible. The Bible is God's revealed authoritative will, and he gives us a lot of guidance on walking in wisdom and what that looks like in obedience to him. So it's a process of wisdom rather than this finding a needle in the haystack mystery of God's will thing. So here's the question that I want us to wrestle with. How can we listen to God as we make decisions in our lives? How can we listen to God? How does God speak to us in the decision-making process? And 12 questions we're going to go through that help provide a little bit of guidance in the midst of that process for decision-makings. And these 12 questions, interestingly, really came out of wrestling together and a discussion last spring at the marriage class that we have here in the spring here at Antioch. And some of you were in that, and you contributed to this message, so you could take ownership for that. But we had a great discussion about decision-making, and in that context, it was as a husband and as a wife in the context of marriage, relationship. So 12 questions. Do you have a big decision to make? First of all, ask this question. Number one, is this decision that you're faced with consistent with God's revealed will in Scripture? You have to start here. You have to start here. Is it consistent with what the Bible says? Listen to the description of the character of God's word here. Psalm 19, 7 through 11. It says this, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. I mean, it's a beautiful section of Scripture describing at different angles the character of God's Word. Now, God's Word's also powerful. Listen to Hebrews 4:12. This is in the New Testament. It says, "The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So Scripture can penetrate into our hearts, reveal things about us. It sharpens us. It helps guide us. It's powerful, very powerful. It's our starting point for everything. That's the point when it comes to decision-making. Scripture should be like the sieve that we run everything in our life through. Feelings, decisions, emotions, impressions that we think we have. We're running it all through this grid, this sieve of Scripture to sort out what's from God and what's not from God. What's in line with what God has revealed for our lives and what's not. The Bible shapes our thinking so that we can live in a way that reflects who God wants us to be as followers of Jesus Christ. So our thinking is shaped and changed through the power of the Spirit, through the Word of God, and that affects our behavior. That's how God changes us. So what does that mean? Well, a decision that clearly contradicts Scripture is not a course of action that's from God. We can conclude that. It's not, if somebody comes to you and they say, "Man, I really feel like God is telling me to do this, and this is totally not in line with who God is or what the Bible says about what it means to live in a way that's honoring to Him," you know that, no, that's not from God. That's either sinful, that's either bad pizza from last night that's making you think that. It's not from God. It's not a decision from God. And maybe you've had that, but I've had many, many people try to pin a horrible decision on a feeling and a sense that that's from God. And the way that you figure out if it's not, and the sieve that you run it through is the Scripture, is the Word of God. So we start there. What has God said? Second question, will this decision bring glory to God? Will this decision bring glory to God? 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says this. It's a very simple verse, but so important. The Apostle Paul writes, "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do," so that covers everything, "do all to the glory of God." Do all to the glory of God. Whatever you're doing is an opportunity to glorify God. Whatever choice you have, in terms of decision, whatever crossroads you're at in life, it's an opportunity to glorify God. So ask yourself, by considering this potential decision, whose kingdom am I contributing to? Whose kingdom am I trying to build? Am I in line with God's purposes and for the world and where history is heading and the advance of the gospel and people coming to know Him and how He wants me to live out my identity, who I am in Jesus Christ? Whose kingdom am I contributing to? My own little kingdom or God's kingdom and seeing what I'm doing as part of that? Whose fame am I endeavoring to spread? This is a good one. This resonates with me. Am I making a decision? Am I trying to orchestrate my life in a way that would make me seem great or set me up for success in a way that's all about my fame and my name? Or am I first and foremost, is the cry of my heart, God, may you be glorified. May your fame be great. May your word spread. May more people come to see how great you are. Like John the Baptist said in John chapter 3, I believe it is. John the Baptist, he met Jesus and he said, may he increase and I decrease. I want to decrease, Lord, so you can increase. So is your goal to glorify God? Question 3, I told you we're moving quick. Whom will this decision affect? Whom will this decision affect? Romans 13, 8 through 10. It says this. "Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Excuse me. So the gospel, it frees you up. It frees you up to live in the power of neighbor love, to live by the rule of loving those around you, loving others. It should be the overarching principle that guides our lives, loving others. This love for other people is meant to flow out of a love for God. It's what Jesus said, right? Matthew 22. Jesus says the first and foremost commandment is to love God with all your heart and soul, mind and strength. And the second one, it's like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So love God, love others. Is the decision that I'm considering, these options, are they allowing me to love other people? And how will it affect other people? Will my decision serve the best interests of those around me? Am I putting others before myself? It's basic gospelology, you could call it, putting other people before yourself. Question 4, have I prayed about this decision? Have I prayed about this decision? Now, maybe you, like me, have shot up one of these token, like, arrow prayers to God. Like, God, please bless my plans. Amen. Right? Here's my plan I've come up with, God. Please bless it. I'm not talking about that. Not a rubber stamp approval prayer, but really seeking God in prayer about whatever decision you're facing. Seeking God, crying out to him. Pouring out your heart to him and doing it in a way that's repeated and regular. Listen to Matthew 7:7 through 11. What a great promise of prayer we have from Jesus. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So as a father, I can resonate with that. Like, I want to give good gifts to my son, Luke. I want to do what I can to give him what he needs and to surprise him and be kind to him as a father. And a lot of times it's like, you know, buddy, come and ask me. Just ask me. Imagine that multiplied infinitely with God as Father, God as Heavenly Father of those who are followers of him, his children. Okay, God is there saying, just ask me. Just like, come and ask me for this. Bring it before me. I mean, what an awesome promise, right? Knock on the door of heaven and ask God, bring this decision before him. Here's a really practical thing that I've found helpful, and maybe it is for you. I'm not a huge, like, journal person, writing love letters to God or that kind of thing, but some of you may journal a lot. I more like write random ADD thoughts and bullet points and stuff. But one of the things that's helpful for me is when there's a major decision or something that I'm wrestling with, take that and journal that, almost like a prayer journal, and journal it over a period of time as you're praying about something to track how you feel God is speaking to you about this issue over time. So today I might pray about it and I'm sensing, wow, God really wants me to do X. Tomorrow I might pray about it, and I really feel God's kind of leading me maybe to do something different. Why? X, Y. So look at that over the course of, you know, a month, 2 months, maybe even longer, and you can see over time, how am I hearing God speak to me as I listen in prayer? Does that make sense? You can see a pattern, not just like extremes and making hasty decisions, but really praying and seeking God over a period of time. That's what I'm talking about. Have you prayed about it? Number 5, fifth question. When you're considering a major decision, what sort of cost will this decision require? What sort of cost will this require? The big decisions in life, they always cost something. They always cost something. And you may be like, whoa, what about the gospel? What about following Jesus? Well, actually, Jesus said that following him is very, very costly. He said, if you want to follow me, you got to take up your cross and die to self, turn from sin, follow me as your Lord and Savior, and there's a cost to this discipleship. It's actually going to cost you everything, but you get me. That's what Jesus says. So think about that in terms of decisions. There's a cost. It could be financial. It could be otherwise. Take, for instance, the decision to go to grad school. I had to wrestle with that several years ago, and it was costly, not just in the sense of financially, but the decision to do that meant that there were going to be other costs in life. I was going to see my wife less. I was going to spend less time with my kids. I was going to have to study and write papers and read like more than a person can humanly read, at least me. So there was cost involved. It might be what God is leading you to do, but consider the cost. Count the cost. Count the cost. Sixth, what other questions can you ask as you're trying to make wise decisions? Sixth question, whom have I sought wise counsel from regarding this decision? Whom have I sought wise counsel from? Proverbs 15:22. Proverbs, this is all over in Proverbs. Seeking counsel from others. It says, without counsel, plans fail. But with many advisors, they succeed. So counsel from others is so, so important. But here's a key thing to remember. Not all counselors should be weighed equally. Not all counselors should be weighed equally. And you could also unpack that from Proverbs if you have time. Some are more important and more valuable than others. Let me tell you what I mean. So you can get counsel, if you're a follower of Christ, you can get counsel on decisions from those that are not followers of Jesus, those that are followers of Jesus. But you need to talk to someone that has a similar worldview for how you view reality, which is a God-shaped, a gospel-shaped worldview of understanding who God is, who I am, how has God orchestrated the world, how do I fit into his plan. Like somebody who sees the world that way, it's going to be helpful. Somebody, in other words, that is maybe a little bit further down the road in following Jesus. Some spiritual maturity that can give you not only wisdom, but godly wisdom in your seeking of counsel. Also, spiritual authority. Who are the spiritual authorities in your life? That could be a pastor, elders, community group leader. That could be parents in your life. That could be somebody that is pouring into your life as a mentor. Who are the spiritual authorities in your life that you should seek counsel from? I'll give you an example. When we started Antioch a little bit, almost 8 years ago, one of the things that I did is we were sent out from Hope Community Church downtown Minneapolis, and I had to go before their team of elders as a prospective church planter and talk to them, explain a plan, talk about God's leading to start this church in order for them to green light it and say, yeah, we want to get behind this. We want to send out this plant. We want to support you. But I had to present that to this team of elders. And let me tell you, if they would have gave serious pushback and said, wow, we don't feel like this is of God, or we don't feel like God is calling you to do this, or we don't feel like you're qualified spiritually to do this, it would have been very good for me to listen. Now, thank God that they did green light it and say, yeah, we want to get behind this. We're excited about it. But they, at that point, were spiritual authority in my life, over me, as the church that I was part of. Who else should you talk to? Who else should be weighed? Counsel should be weighed importantly. Well, people who know you well. If you have a major decision, don't you want to talk to people that know you the best? If you're married, that's your spouse. You're making decisions as a team, by the way. So your team better be unified on the decision making, or it's gonna be a bad time. Also, people who are credible. Do you need to talk to somebody that has some expertise or experience in this area of decision that it would be good to talk to? Whatever it is, education, moving, job, whatever. People that are credible. So not all counselors should be weighed equally, but you definitely need to seek wise counsel when you make a decision. And there's no magic number. It's just seeking counsel until you feel like you've got some good insight. Number seven, next question to ask. Does this decision, does it seem to be a wise course of action? Now, this one seems a little subjective. Well, does it seem to be? Does it seem like wisdom? Does it seem like a wise thing to do? But listen to James 1:5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. So we're told that if we need wisdom, which, by the way, every one of us in this room does, come to God, ask him for it, and he will give that. Supernaturally, he's going to impart wisdom by his Spirit so that you can go through life walking in wisdom as a follower of Jesus. And you look at these other questions, including Scripture, to determine if you are hearing from God or not. And if that wisdom, what you think is wisdom, is in line with what God has said. Another thing that's very important to remember here with wisdom is it's very clear from Proverbs and other places that true wisdom begins and is only found in knowing God through faith in Jesus Christ. So the first starting point before even asking any of these 12 questions is, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Because by committing your life to follow Jesus, saying, Jesus, I'm tired of running from you. I want you to be king of my life. I want to turn from my sin and believe that what you've done on the cross as a substitute, paying for sin in my place, I want to trust in your work and stop trying to be a good person on my own because I can't. If you haven't come to that point, you're not going to live out what true wisdom is all about, because wisdom begins with a knowledge of God, a personal knowledge through faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior. It starts there. Eighth question. Does this decision reflect my heartfelt desires and passions? Psalm 37:4, one of the most misused verses in this area in the Bible, I think. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord. It's a command, right, that David gives. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Man, I'm going to take that verse, I'm going to rip it out of Psalm 37, and I'm going to say, and I've done that, a lot of people have done this, and said, man, if I just delight myself in the Lord, this thing that I want back here, God's going to give me that, right? I'm going to get what I want. I mean, this is a good deal. I can get what I want. I can live the way I want. All I have to do is delight myself in the Lord a little bit. Well, what Psalm 37 is actually saying is that as you delight yourself in the Lord, as the kind of person that the rest of the book of Psalms is talking about, a person that walks in the way of righteousness rather than wickedness, a person that knows God personally, a person that saturated with the Word of God, as you delight yourself in the Lord as that type of a person, guess what happens? God starts to change your desires and your wants from the inside out. It starts to change your heart so that what you want begins to change. Your goals begin to change, your ambitions, your just how you view reality, how you view the world. So your wants and the desires of your heart become more in line with God's heart. That's what's going on here. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart, because they are merging. You are getting more in line with what God has revealed and who he is. So guess what happens? Your desires start to become the same as the desires of God's heart, which is the goal. So it's not viewing God as this cosmic slot machine that you put a little prayer into, pull the lever and out comes a new car or something, a boat. It's not that at all. Desires of your heart. God didn't make a mistake when he gave you the things that stir the fires of your heart. And the people that, this gets back to the people that know you best. What are you passionate about? What are the desires of your heart? Does this decision that you're considering fit into that? Does it reflect that? You have those for a reason. You have those for a reason. Number 9. Does this decision that you're considering, does it fit with how God has gifted and wired me? Now, there's different places that we could go to talk about spiritual gifts. We're not going to look at them all, but in the New Testament, you could look at Romans chapter 12. You could look at 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. There's a lot of places that talk about how God has gifted and wired us, okay? And there's other useful personality tools out there that you can use for that as well. But here's the point. God hasn't created you to do everything on earth. Surprise. He created you to do exactly what he wants you to do. He created you to do exactly what he wants you to do. I love, there's a verse in the book of Acts in the New Testament, and it's just like this comment in passing. And in reference to King David in the Old Testament, it says, he served the purpose of God in his generation. He was faithful to serve the purpose of God in his generation. And I'm like, man, I want that to be said of me, right? I want that to be said of me in this brief, like, drop in the bucket of my life that just goes like that. I want it to be said of me, like, man, you know what? He served the purpose of God in his generation. You didn't do everything you could because you can't do everything you can. You don't have enough lifetime. But have you done what God's called you to do and what God wants you to do? Will that be true of me? Will that be true of you to serve the purpose of God in your generation? Question number 10. We're in double digits now. Have I listened in dependence upon the Holy Spirit regarding this decision? Have I listened to the Holy Spirit regarding this decision? We did a series this last spring on the Holy Spirit. There's more, a lot more on that topic if you're interested back in April, May, and June, first part of June. But Galatians 5, 16 and 25. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Okay, if you're here and you're not yet a follower of Jesus, I'm excited that you're here. I'm glad that you're asking questions, that you're searching things out. And this maybe sounds like a really weird to you, that this, like, walking by the Spirit and keeping in step with the Spirit, and that's like weird, mystical, crazy stuff, right? But here's what happens, and here's what we believe from the New Testament, is that when you come to know Jesus Christ, God actually fills you with his Holy Spirit and guides you by that Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And going through daily life should be done in the dependence upon God's Spirit and leading. That's what this is talking about. And trust me, it's way better than trying to do it yourself. It's way better because we mess up all the time and we don't have a clue. But God can guide us and wants to guide us as we yield to his Spirit and to the control of his Holy Spirit for him to take the reins. Ask yourself, am I trying to, when it comes to dependence on the Spirit, am I trying to force something through my own strength? My wife Sarah could testify, this is one of my problems. Oh my goodness. Trying to force something, like in my own strength, in my own power, just because I'm trying to move ahead, get it done, whatever. Maybe you do that too. Trying to make things happen in your own power, your own strength. It's like you're trying to put puzzle pieces together that just don't fit, and you want to like make it fit, right? Doesn't work. It doesn't work. When I try to force my own will, I usually get anxious, I'm restless, and that's a good indication that it's not from God. And that's a good indication with decisions too. In major decisions, one of the things that I've actually done is started to take time to get away specifically to focus, to pray, to seek God, to ask for guidance of his Spirit, to get away, to sort through what God wants me to do with major decisions. Sarah and I at times have done that together. We've actually gone away to a cabin to pray and seek God for a major life decision. One of them was when we decided to come down here to the Twin Cities and leave the church that we started 2 hours away. And that was huge. And that was a good option and a good option. But we decided at the end of the day that it's what God wanted us to do. I'm really glad we did. Question 11. Two more. How do life circumstances impact this decision? We talked about this a little bit last week, but in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 8 and 9, at the end of the book, the Apostle Paul is like talking about his travel plans. And it's almost like a text message at the end of 1 Corinthians, right? Like, here's what I'm doing. Just want to let you know. 1 Corinthians 16, 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul says, "But I will stay in Ephesus, the town of Ephesus, until Pentecost, until this Jewish festival. Why? Verse 9. Because a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." So Paul's trying to determine his travel plans. What does God want me to do? Sounds like a decision, right? Should I stay? Should I go? God, what do you want me to do? And he says, well, my circumstances are suggesting that a wide door of opportunity has opened up for ministry here to tell people more about Jesus. And my circumstances are telling me that there's a lot of opposition, a lot of enemies coming against me because of that wide door. So I'm gonna read this opportunity that, God, you want me to stay. I'm going to stay in Ephesus a little longer because of this open door for ministry, right? So what he's doing is looking at his circumstances and listening to God in the midst of life circumstances. So in other words, to bring it up into our day, the circumstances in your life could suggest that the decision that you're considering is a very bad choice, right? Like if you got 10 things going on this fall and then you're like, wow, why don't we throw this one onto the pile? Maybe not a good choice. Consider life's circumstances. Lastly, the 12th question to ask here. Am I experiencing peace from God regarding this decision? Peace from God. Listen to Philippians 4, 6 and 7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." First of all, what an amazing promise that peace from God will come just from the act of praying. Not just from like an answered prayer that you want to receive or a way that you want God to answer it, but just from bringing things before God, God gives you peace through his Spirit rather than anxiety. That's good news. That's what a relationship with God is like. Peace from God. But here's the thing about this idea of having peace about a decision, okay? Consider Jonah in the Old Testament. Just as a side note, by the way, at the fall retreat, we're going to be walking through the book of Jonah. My college roommate's coming and leading that. He's speaking. I'm really excited. So you can get excited, too, about the book of Jonah. But here's what happened to Jonah. He's a prophet in ancient Israel. God told him, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, which was a pagan city, just a godless city. And you know what? Jonah hated him. Jonah was a racist. He did not want to go there. And he actually ran away from God. He took a boat to even get further than he could on land. And he went the opposite direction that God wanted him to go. But you know what Jonah did? As he was running from God, he's asleep, sound asleep, on the boat, running from God. Sounds pretty peaceful, doesn't it? At peace. So be careful with the idea of peace. because, like I said, it could just be bad pizza from last night. It may not be peace that's from God. It may be you just trying to justify a bad decision that you made, like Jonah. Now, he does eventually go. You'll hear that next weekend. So you could actually be making a decision that is exactly what God wants you to do and feel a sense of turmoil and a sense of, what am I getting into? This is like the opposite of peace. At least happy, happy peace, that kind. You might have a deep-founded joy and peace in the Lord that's different, but think of Jesus the night before he was crucified. I mean, he was in turmoil, sweating drops of blood, just crying out to his heavenly Father, Lord, Father, if there's any other way, if there's any other way than the cross, please tell me, but I want your will to be done. And then he did it. So 12 questions for making decisions. I'm not going to read through them all again, but really helpful in the decision-making process. Just a few things before I want to pray for us. When one of those 12 questions or one of those factors in the decision-making process, when one of them is confusing, it's helpful to lean into the other ones. So if you have sought wise counsel and somebody is telling you to do this and the other person is telling you to do the total opposite, that can be really confusing. Lean into the other ones. Lean into the other 11 questions and consider those. And they help to shape and speak into each other. Also, if you have a major decision, just really practical, set a deadline. Set a deadline when you need to make the decision by, and then stick to it and don't look back. That's one of the most helpful pieces of advice Sarah and I were given years ago. Set a deadline, make a decision. You can, what do they say? Paralysis by analysis, right? You can be paralyzed through being in decision-making zone forever. And just make a decision and move on. Also, even though these questions, I framed them more individualistically to think about questions to ask yourself, making decisions, it's meant to be undertaken in community, not in isolation, because that only gets you into trouble. So whether your community is friends, whether it's marriage, whether it's family, extended family, community group, larger church family, making decisions in the context of community is so important, so important. Let me ask this just as we close. Where do you want to grow in the process of making wise decisions? All right. Like I said, this has been a massive family-style banquet feast here. But just go away, think with this. Where does God want you to grow in the process of making decisions? Where do you need to be sharpened? Where do you need to grow in order to walk in wisdom? And what are you going to do about it? What step will you take to make that happen? Who's going to keep you accountable for that? God is speaking to you right now about a decision or the process of making a decision, who's going to help you with that? What are you going to do? What's the next step? Don't let it just end here. Let me pray. Lord, thank you that you have, even though it seems fuzzy, it seems subjective at times, Lord, you have given us the power of your Spirit to walk in wisdom, to walk in wisdom. And making decisions in our lives, it's part of that, Lord. And you invite us into the freedom of not following a list of 1,000 rules, but being guided by the Spirit of Jesus through faith in him. And Lord, decision-making is part of that. And Lord, I pray for anyone making a major decision, even right now that is here, would you guide them? Would you help them? Would you speak to them in a powerful way as they listen to you? And Lord, help us to be a church that listens to you well. We pray in your name. Amen.